That was Brad Richter playing solo there. I want to go to a CD. I want to make sure people understand that you and Victor are playing tomorrow night at the Jacqueline Austin Cultural Center at 7:30.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you. And, you know, I was thinking of this as we do as I was playing that song.
Okay.
For just a second, that on that CD is a really appropriate piece for what you just asked for, Facing East.
Oh, good.
Which is a song I wrote based on a melody by Ed Lee Nate, who's a very famous Navajo singer from mid-20th century. Mm-hmm. And it's just a stunningly beautiful melody. And what you'll hear for the first 15 seconds, the first phrase, is just simply Ed Lee Nate's melody as he wrote it.
And Victor playing it?
Victor playing it. And then we begin to add variation upon variation. Nice. Until we get to the end.
Nice. Okay, thank you. Was an original by Brad Richter, Facing East. Very beautiful.
Thanks.
I have to tell Victor, very beautiful playing there, Victor.
He plays that so beautifully. And one of the things that Victor's talked to me about a couple of times that changed the way he plays that is after we performed it for the first time, I gave him the recording of Ed Lee Nate singing
nice.
The song. And he listened to it as he was driving on Highway 89 back to Utah, right through Navajo country.
Oh, good.
And I amazing. Think it really moved him.
Yeah.
And since then, he's played it with such expressiveness and contrast. And there's that echo sound, which Ed Lee Nate does so beautifully with his voice, too.
Yeah, he used it towards the end.
What yeah.
Else? Yeah. Very nice. For those who are listening, he went from a broadness in the bow to kind of like a thin, almost to like almost a whisper, and then like an edge that you have to do with the bow. And he did it beautifully. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, which we use all the way
all the way out to the tip. of the book.
Right, and Getting Down by the Bridge, the Ponticello.
Yes. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. Enough technical talk again. I'm sorry, everybody. But I guess when I sit with someone that's as knowledgeable of my instrument, his instrument, and also a great composer and just a very insightful human being, it's hard not to go into all these directions. But let's go back to Chicago.
Leon, I feel like I should spend more time with you. I feel really good.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. We will spend more time. Anyway, let's go back to Chicago, I guess, for a brief minute and talk about that program a little more. And then I want to segue to what you're doing with the University of Arizona, because that's another new chapter, started like last year, I think, in your life.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Chicago. Talk about that a little more.
Well, we were talking about how that felt like the place to be because of the social unrest, mm-hmm. and because of the breaking up of those Robert Taylor homes and some of the other projects that were there. It's a beautiful city. You can feel the soul and the spirit of that city when you're there. I'm sometimes shocked by how segregated the city is.
It has been.
Yeah, it's the South Side is black, North Side is white, and there and lots of exceptions. But boy, it's shocking how divided it is.
Unfortunately, it's a lack of understanding and connection and communication, because when people get to know each other, they know that they realize that they're the same.
Yeah,
different experiences, but bringing those different experiences together are very enriching for both sides.
It is, and it's so much more meaningful. And I think, the two toughest schools we're in that are on the near South Side, those are the brightest, most motivated teachers I've ever dealt with. They're in buildings that are falling apart around them. They've got some tough kids, but I tell you, it's really fun to see kids that might look tough on the outside playing classical guitar and loving it and being just as motivated and sensitive and in tune to what's going on as, any kid in the foothills in Tucson.
Well, the reality is that toughness that they have to put on the outside is a shell that helps them to be able to exist and live and go through that environment and not be a target.
Yeah. And I think they're particularly eager to have someone break through that shell.
Yes, and help them to get to that sensitive side and realize that they have that within themselves.
Yeah, and there's a couple of really special teachers there. Since they're adults, I'll say them by name. Ronika, who teaches at Williams Prep, which is the school I was talking about near where the Taylor homes mm-hmm. used to be, and Reggie, who teaches at Doolittle Elementary on 35th and Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. We co-wrote some grants together to help fund those programs. They put in a good 25 hours of volunteer time to help make all this work.
Mm, wonderful.
And they're the ones that are there every day making the real difference.
And then we'll get to more music shortly, too. But the projects, for those that don't know what projects are, a lot of people really don't know what projects are.
Yeah, you have to live in a major city to
projects
see
projects are horrible. They have to come up with very nice names for them. But if you ever go into a project, besides walking into an environment that is dangerous, usually not smelling too good when you walk through the halls or in the elevators, it's just not an environment that's conducive to being a good human being. Being a human being, I don't think they're a good human being. To being a human being, experiments have been done where you have people with rats, where you have a lot of rats in a very small confined environment, and you have those same amount of rats in a spacious environment, and the attitudes of the rats change. They become a lot more aggressive, a lot more hostile. So this idea of putting people into a project, it's a tower of buildings, usually 30, 40 floors of people stacked on top of one another in disgusting little cubicles that they call apartments.
Right.
And so I'm not opposed to the fact that they were ripped down. I'm opposed to the fact that they were ripped down in the way that they were.
Without a plan. Yeah, the plan was to rip them down, not to take care of the families
right.
who were in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then one more thing, and then I have to ask you to play something again, Brad. Your program in Arizona, you are now, and I'll ask you for your title, but he's now called the coordinator, the head of, or whatever, in the University of Arizona for the education. What is your title there?
The director of outreach.
Okay. Thank you. I know I needed your help with that. The director of outreach for the University of Arizona. And when I was there in March, it was wonderful. Brad was not involved, but had put together a thing to bring in this dance troupe. It was kind of a mime dance,
oh yeah,
acting troupe. Yeah, you forgot I was there.
I forgot about that part of it. Yeah.
Okay, and they brought all these kids in from all over to the university, and they were transfixed upon the stage of watching, and these performers didn't just stay on stage. They actually came in from out of the wings, and they were constantly going out. They were grabbing kids from the audience and taking them on stage and getting them involved. It was wonderful. Talk about what you're doing there a little bit, then I want to hit guitar.
Well, that particular dance troupe was Palabolas, that I bet a lot of the listeners know, and I bet they've been through Spokane at some point.
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah.
But it's kind of a mix of acrobatics and dance. Mm-hmm. And so part of the concept, in some ways, the second half of the concept is that we provide the in-school program and then get those kids onto a university campus to have some sort of meaningful experience. So we do two things for every kid. One is that they go to some sort of concert like that where they see, you know, world-class dancers or musicians on a big, impressive stage. Mm-hmm. At that thing we had 1,700 kids from low-income schools.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And
not to cut you off, but
no.
The cost of that, because we talked about that, and you told me that was the big thing, was to raise the money, not just to get for the artist, but for the busing. Do you remember the figure?
The busing is really expensive. It's about $10,400 for that performance.
Yeah. They have to bring the kids in. So when you're doing these kind of things, it's you have to have a strong network like you have developed and like you're doing now with the University of Arizona working with you.
And I have to give another organization credit for that, Act One, which is a Phoenix-based organization whose specialty is busing kids into performances like that, partnered with us and paid for all the buses.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, enough about all the social things. Let's get to guitar. Well, guitar is social. Let's get the more live music from Brad Richter. What do you want to do, Brad?
I've got a bunch of things under my fingertips. We could do
whatever you want.
Elation for kind of an old standard of mine.
Drop D tuning.
On both strings.
Both
so I'm
strings
tuning
noticing, yes.
Both E strings to D, which is... I know guitarists know why we do that, but for those of you who aren't guitarists, it's having more open strings in the right key lets you build some more interesting textures, but then it kind of limits you to one key. Exactly. So that's why this piece is 2 minutes and 10 seconds long and doesn't modulate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Thanks.
That was Brad Richter playing live in the studio. Actually, I want to mention that this is an unusual week because we've had two guitar hours this week.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah, I was in Monday because we had Tuesday night, Otmar Liebert played at the Bing Crosby Theater. And I'm still kind of dragging from that because Otmar, we had talked about it before, but then there was a communication breakdown. And I called Vern Sunday night, and he had to come down to the station to see if there'd been communication, and there hadn't been. And then I got a number, and I texted him, and then he got back to me at 5 a.m. in the morning when he had arrived in Spokane from Seattle by bus. Okay? Well, his touring bus, not Greyhound bus. you should see the look on your face.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Not Greyhound bus, no, a touring bus. And then we came in, and we did a show. And Vern, we were going to do it 10 o'clock. Originally, but Vern played music of guitar from 10 to almost 10:30, and then we came in and did a half an hour show. So there's two guitar hours this week for those that caught the one on Monday. If not, I think it's still podcasting, is it? Yeah.
I bet that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a podcast, so you can listen and hear it. This one will probably be podcast also, so we're kind of dominating the podcast maybe for a while. Anyway, Brad and Victor Uzer, almost did it, are going to be in Post Falls at the Jacqueline Arts and Cultural Center, 7:30 tomorrow night. It's a must-see. If you planned on it already, wonderful. If you haven't, call three friends and tell them what you heard today and get people out there. So it's full, and we have a wonderful turnout for Brad and Victor. And I think, Brad, anything else that you want to say before I have Vern play something with the two of them? I want to go out with the duo. And we want to pick something that's about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes.
I don't have the timings in my head, but one of the Eastern European pieces is always fun and is a nice representation of Victor too.
Good, okay.
Victor's from Serbia. The only thing that occurs to me in terms of something to say is just how much I appreciate you and all that you've put into lead guitar and over the years. You know, Leon taught for us at a alternative high school in Post Falls, and then he went and visited three schools with us
in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And he's always doing something to help us with lead guitar, and is just such a fantastic and spokesperson for the guitar and education. And I sure appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that too. Thank you.
You know what I'd like to get out of this is a sneak preview of something new that you're working on that you're gonna bring out tomorrow night. You hope. With the two of you.
Well, we're doing five new songs. One is called "Bitter the Laughter, Sweet the Tears," which is a two movement piece, and it's that's interesting because it's got a super weird tuning. It's E flat, A flat, D, G, B flat, E flat.
Oh, that's weird.
It's weird.
Okay.
And then we're doing a duo arrangement of I played City Song for you near the beginning, mm-hmm. Of three of those songs from the Lake Bonneville cycle.
Oh, nice.
So. You'll hear a duo version of City Song and two other pieces from that cycle.
Great.